listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
It's Montreal in his...
For CJLO News, I'm Serena Abuljud. On Tuesday, September 9, Israeli occupation forces airdropped a massive amount of leaflets on Palestinians in Gaza City, demanding the full evacuation of the region. This comes after Israel revealed it intends to demolish all of Gaza City in an attack to take down Hamas. The Israeli military ordered residents to move to Al-Masawi area, which is already overcrowded with thousands of displaced people sheltering in tents. Palestinians in Gaza City are now left stranded amidst the rubble, with nowhere safe to go, as Israel continues to regularly bomb the south. Health authorities in Gaza announced that they will not be evacuating Gaza City's two main operational hospitals, stressing that doctors will not abandon their patients. Gaza City is home to around 1 million Palestinians, and as of Wednesday, less than 10% have evacuated the area. Since October 7, 2023, Israel has killed more than 64,000 Palestinians in Gaza. Activists and coalitions across Canada protested in front of Canada Revenue Agency offices across the country between September 2nd and September 5th. Their demand was to stop allowing Canadian charitable donations to subsidize war crimes and the genocide in Palestine. Just Peace Advocates, an independent Canadian human rights group, released an analysis based on charity filings from 2024, exposing seven organizations for sending donations to entities deeply complicit in the occupation and bombing campaigns against Palestinian civilians. Activists highlighted Revenue Agency's failure to enforce its own laws, as these funds violate both the Income Tax Act and the War Crimes and Crimes Against Humanity Act. They still haven't taken any action against these violations and continue to make Canadian taxpayers unknowingly implicated in genocide. That being said, many other charities such as Mizrachi and United Israel Appeal did not file their 2024 returns. This is raising more questions surrounding the entire funding of illegal Israeli activities. The head of the Assembly of First Nations of Quebec and Labrador, Francis Viropol, is pleading for the Quebec government to drop Bill 97, an act proposing to modernize the forest regime. The new proposed system consists of splitting public lands into three equally sized zones. That includes one protected area, one area for industry to develop, and one area for mixing public lands with lands for development. Since the tabling of Bill 97 back in April, First Nations have been protesting against it. Indigenous groups and leaders are saying the act gives the forestry industry the right to complete their operations without consulting them, which threatens Indigenous title rights and sovereignty. They warned that the changes are prioritizing logging over the long-term health of the ecosystem, which could get in the way of the preservation of their traditional ways of life, cultures, and languages. They also emphasized their concern with the potential acceleration of forest degradation. Last week, Minister of Indigenous Affairs, Ian Lafrenière, implied that many changes will be made to the amendment. Minister of Natural Resources and Forests, Maite Blanchette-Vézina, who has been receiving backlash for putting industrial interests above all else in her new bill, said that her ministry's team of lawyers are willing to sit down with the Assembly of First Nations to make sure that all the terms and elements in the amendment that spark concern would be avoided. For more, go to cjlo.com/news or follow CJLO News on Spotify. Hey, teach me how to dug it, hey.
Baby, like smooth. What? Can you teach me how to dug it? Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Maximilian Calinescu.
And I'm Liba Sikoela Diallo.
And welcome to Death of the Midrange.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Episode 2.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's Liddy up in here. Let me try to get with that Gen Alpha, you know.
Well, we are trying to connect.
Unk is trying to.
We are trying to connect with the youth more and more.
Exactly, bro. I heard you guys like this Teach Me How to Dougie stuff.
Well, actually, that's kind of OG. Now, I feel in today's generation, if you know Teach Me How to Dougie, you're a real one.
We're showing our true colors as the unction here. Yeah. But welcome back. We're super, super, super excited to talk more hoops with you guys. Whenever I say hoops, when I'm talking about basketball in the context to my sister, she always thinks I'm like, she's like, why are you talking about poops? Why are you talking about poops? You know?
No, but it's like it's a term not as known as you think outside the basketball world. Because I had a coworker who was like, should we go shoot some hoops? And I feel like I've never heard that ever. Shoot some hoops?
Well, you're not like as white as I am. So like, well, you're like, excuse me, sir, would you like to shoot some hoops?
The people at home don't know that. I could be the whitest man on earth. Don't nobody know. But yeah, super happy. Second episode today. We're going to talk about the Washington Wizards.
The Washington Wizards.
If you gathered that from the intro song, obviously, if you don't know, Teach Me How to Dougie was kind of John Wall's like main song when he was active. And on his first NBA game after being drafted, he off a bet off of Gilbert Arenas, walked out in the introduction after NDC's point guard. And he went, come on now.
Can you teach me how to...
And Max can absolutely Dougie, and he was absolutely doing a great performance in front of my eyes. Guys, I wish everybody could see.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll get into the Kawhi drama. I know Unk in front of me got so much to say about that.
I have a lot to say, and it's also like, I don't know, when we're talking about this drama stuff, it's interesting because a lot of it is just how rich Steve Ballmer is, right? So when you're looking, because I'm a Concordia student and I'm in communications, you always try to take a Marxist lens at it, right? But it's like the sheer amount of wealth that Steve Ballmer has makes this situation so much more frustrating. But we're not going to get into that till the end. We are going to be talking about the Washington Wizards today, as we have mentioned, and... if you don't know who John Wall is, this episode is probably not for you. Also,
how could you not know who he is? Like, God, he's like the best.
However, if you would like to learn who John Wall is, this episode is actually for you.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to talk about the love of my life, basically.
Yeah, and it's not me, it's John Wall.
Well, I can have two.
A man can have two.
A man can have two.
But before we start... talking about the intricacies of the current state of the Washington Wizards and Livesey's experiences with John Wall and growing up in the Wizards fandom. Just an update. I've been sick this week, so no weekly one-on-one.
He was out day-to-day. Day-to-day all week.
Yeah, yeah.
Ducking the smoke, you know?
Yeah, absolutely ducking the smoke. However, we've started off last week's episode with a list, and I think this week it's going to be the same. Or I know. I have a habit of saying I think.
I know, boo.
You know? Because it's I know. Like you said,
okay.
I know, bro.
That's okay. But that's okay.
Thank you for reassuring me.
I am. I'm validating you. Cool.
But we're going to do a list. It's not like a more traditional top five. I'm giving a little leniency here because this list is a little mean. The list that we're going to have today is...
I'm excited.
You ready?
Very, very excited.
And listeners at home, please play along. Since 1980.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Right?
Can you name five of the last 11 Washington Wizards / Bullets to make the NBA MVP leaderboard? To acquire one or more votes.
Okay.
Granted, since 1980, only four players were in the top 10.
Okay.
So bonus points if you can name them, and also bonus points if you can name the person with the highest ranking on the list.
Okay, so just even one vote counts towards them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I will tell you the latest time. So this is since 1980, so obviously Wes Unseld doesn't count.
Yeah, because he was
That's ABA.
Yeah.
So this is by the merger. The oldest name on this list is from 1982 to 3. And the most recent... Actually, I won't tell you because it would be a dead giveaway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think I know.
So, go ahead. So, you just have to name five of them, and then I'll tell you the list.
Well, the one thing that Max doesn't know is that I think I'm pretty up to speed on like, basketball and stuff.
Doesn't give it away by us having a basketball show?
No, but my one thing... is that I'm not good with like all time list before the 90s, but I am not finding any excuses. I'm gonna get right into it.
This is hard.
No, but my first pick is definitely Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
That year he had the triple double. He only stayed 1 year with the Wizards, averaged a triple double, took us to the playoffs.
Do you want me to say the amount of votes and his ranking?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
I think he was like, did he get like, was he number like six, seven? Sorry, 6'7".
Wow, 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 wow. Did you really just do that to make a joke?
No, I didn't. Was he number seven?
No, he was number 11th on the list. So he just misses that top 10 spot. How many votes do you think he got? First place and regular?
Three.
Zero first place, five votes in total.
Jeez.
2020-21.
God. Can I get John Wall?
Yes, you can.
16-17.
That's exactly what time it was. He was tied for seventh.
Yeah.
That he is the highest on the list.
Obviously.
And he got 7 votes.
I wish you guys could see the smile on Max's face as he says those stats. Great year for John Wall. Mm-hmm. I think he averaged like 23-11, 23-10. Yeah. And that's the year we went to the conference semifinals. Yep. What a year that was. Can I get Bradley Beal any of these years?
You cannot.
I cannot. He averaged 30 points back. Oh, I guess we never won. That's true. We never. Okay.
Crazy. He also, that year that he averaged 30, I think he wasn't an all-star.
Yeah, there was 1 year because it was 2 years he averaged 30.
And he wasn't an all-star, but he was an all-NBA player.
Yeah.
That goes to show how unwatched the Washington Wizards are.
Don't get me started.
Because they didn't get public vote. I obviously think he deserved it. He should have been an all-star.
100%.
But it's interesting there.
Can I get Michael Jordan?
You can get Michael Jordan.
That's insane.
Okay. He's at the age of, I have it in my notes. 40. Age 38.
38.
2001, 2 season. He got 0 first place votes, but he had 16 regular votes, and he was 13th on the list.
Damn, I'm blanking, bro.
You only need 2 more, to complete the list.
Like, oh, Gilbert Arenas.
There you go. You can get 2 Gilbert Arenas.
Wow, 2 Gilbert Arenas.
He came in 8th in 2006 with a total of... Oh, that can't be right. I think I got them mixed up because I have him at 8th with 1 vote, but I think that's wrong. I think he's 8th with 31 votes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then he also came in 12th in 2004 and 5 with 1 vote.
Yeah.
And then he came in 8th in 2006-7.
That is the last 6-7 joke.
That is the last 6-7 joke. We are adults.
Dang.
So you just need 1 more name. Something. And all of these are like...
Known players? Or are they like deep, like...
I will say 2 of them are known players. One of them very well known. The other 2, I was... Or 3, I was like, who?
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 Dang. Can I get Antoine Jameson?
You can get Antoine Jameson.
Let's go.
Good job. 14th in 2007, 8 with 1 vote.
Okay.
Do you want to try to guess any more, or what should we?
I'm trying to leave out here on one more.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Because he's early, like, even the Bullets, I don't know that many players.
So, the last time, so the ages that you're going through now are 1997 and 8 season, and then the latest, or the last one, was 1982 to 3. So, that's the range.
Can I get Rip Hamilton?
You can not get Rip Hamilton.
Yeah.
Good guess, though. I don't know. I'm shocked that Bradley Beal is actually not on this list.
Well, that makes sense.
30. Yeah. He averaged 30.
Yeah, but you got to... I mean, MVP is not like the All-Star. Like, you have to win.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to win. I mean, I had to, like, we haven't been over 500 since 2017-18.
Yeah.
Even when we made the playoffs, we were below 500.
Right.
Man. Because those teams were, like, so... The teams that I've known for the past 10 years have been so, like... dominant by 1 or 2 players,
yep.
John Wall or Bradley Beal,
yep.
That it's hard. I know it's not in the 2000s anymore. It has to be before. And I'm blanking. No.
Shoot.
Phil Chenier?
Nope.
No, that's a deep guess. Okay.
I'll give you 1 more and then we'll keep it pushing.
Yeah. Dang. What's that? What's his name? Elvin Hayes? No.
Nope.
Dang it. Damn.
You would have thought.
Could you let me know some of the...
All right. 1982 to 3, in 12th place with 12 votes, we have Jeff Ruland.
Okay.
No clue who that
obviously
is.
Obviously, no clue who that is.
Who? Because I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
And then him coming in 9th place with 1 first place vote in 1983. I want to let it be known that the media vote came in 1980. So the media could start voting. So as soon as it hits 1980, like you look at 1979, that season, you're like, okay, there's like 5 guys on the MVP list. That makes sense. 1980, there's like 28.
Yeah.
Because the media is just like, I think that this guy gets one vote, right? Mm-hmm. Jeff Ruland gets one first place vote. I forgot to write how many regular other place votes he had, he got, but he was in ninth. Then in 1986-7 season, oh wow, there's another 6-7.
Yeah.
We have Moses Malone.
Oh, no way.
With 9 votes.
Yeah.
In 1990-91, we have Bernard King, who I had no clue was on Washington.
I didn't even know.
Was 16th because he was the he's like a New York legend.
Yeah.
And then in 1997 through 8 with 1 vote in 18th place, you have Rod Strickland.
Rod Strickland. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And that's it.
Dang.
Those are all the Washington Wizards to reach to poll anywhere on the NBA MVP leaderboard
you know
since
what?
1980.
First of all, great list. I'll give you your credit for that. Great list.
But I'll give you credit for that.
But it's also like, it's also, I think it's a good segue into the history of the Washington Wizards.
Absolutely, because.
Yeah, how thin our history. I mean, we haven't won 50 games.
So since
since the 70s when we won, and that year we won 50 games is the year we won our championship.
So since 1973,
I think.
Yeah, when Wes Unseld won MVP and won the finals MVP and won the finals.
Yeah. We haven't been even.
You haven't had a NBA MVP leaderboard higher than 7th.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it never made that much sense to me because, see, Washington is considered a small market.
Yeah,
even though we're the nation's capital, and we're like one of the most diverse like spots in the U.S. And I never kind of understood. No free agent ever wanted to come to Washington, not because of the city. But because of how the organization was always run.
Yep.
But that's changing. I feel like right now it's really changed. I mean, we're going to get into it, but, you know.
That's a perfect segue. We are going to go to ad break.
Yep.
And then we'll be right back with John Wall, the Washington Wizards.
So excited.
And more.
Yeah, stick around.
Stick around.
Hey, do you love movies? Discover the best of art house cinema in 3 theaters all across the city. That is Cinéma du Musée, Du Parc, and Beaubien. Students only pay $11 per ticket, all day, every day. See you at the movies.
Our talks about movies always start out with the best of intentions. Opinions are shared, debates develop. But then things get heated, words get said. Friendships are tested, disagreements break out. This is when the smackdown happens. Join us for our next epic grudge match, Sundays at 2 p.m., Cinema Smackdown, right here on CJLO 1690 AM.
Welcome back Welcome to Death of the Midrange podcast. I hope you enjoyed the ads. For Cinéma du Parc?
I did. I did.
I sure did. Mm-hmm. Before we talk about the modern day Washington Wizards, I think I'm going to let my friend here, who's looking like a dog on a leash that's about to enter the dog park, Ooh. You know, like...
you're not ready.
Like, you're so excited. Ready. Now he's going to run around the dog park. I want you to talk about John Wall.
Yeah.
Happy retirement to John Wall.
Like we said last week.
Man. Like we said last week. Still pissed about that 360 layup.
He will not let it go.
No. Because I was watching the right. We were doing well. And then I just went, oh my God. And then we lost. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Well deserved.
Yeah. He was on my fantasy though. So shout him. And he's in your fantasies. So there we go. Perfect segue. Talk to me about John Wall, baby.
Because I know what one might ask himself, how does one become a Wizards fan? It's a real question that's been asked to me throughout my whole life.
It's actually, I think, written in the New Testament, actually.
Yeah, I think it is, you know.
God declared on his third day.
How?
Wizards?
Ew. But, I mean, obviously that reputation has come because of years of tanking and losing and a franchise that has been run into the ground. But I moved to the Washington, D.C. area when I was about, like, 10, 11. And that's exactly the time where John Wall was entering his prime. And my first season of watching basketball fully was the 16-17 season. And if you don't know, that year John Wall was so good. I mean, best point guard in the East. He was leading this Wizards team. Kyle Lowry, but go on. Well, okay, all right. Like best point guard in the East. I think he's averaging like 23 and 10, something like that.
Yeah, he's one of the only people to average above 20 and above a 10 assists in the Eastern Conference consistently for that period of time.
And also, like less known fact about John Wall is that he's a playoff riser. Mm-hmm. If you look at his stats, every playoff he's really his stats have blown up, you know, been much better, which is a feat that doesn't happen with that many NBA stars consistently. Mm. And so the NBA playoffs, I mean, we won 49 games. We went to game 7 with the Boston Celtics. John Wall hit the infamous game winner, game 6, that had me running around my living room, shaking my dad. Like, so that's where my Wizards kind of fandom started. I've been in love with this team. Like I told you multiple times, it's like if somebody presented something so great to you, and you get so attached to it, and then the following year it just gets stripped from you. Mm. And then John Wall, after that season, got injured, and then his injury prolonged, and then when he was ready to come back, we traded him.
Yep.
I felt that John was like, you know, that ex, you know, that ex that you're like, well, what could have been, you know, if things could have just been a bit, you know, better. So, and I think his career has been overshadowed by so many off-the-court stuff, where there was, like, the gang signs, the clubbing, the whatever, the contract as well. Because he had, like, a groundbreaking contract after that year. Like, and it followed him around, because after that, his production obviously wasn't the same when he was on the Rockets and on the Clippers. But for me, John Wall will always be a Wizard. John Wall would be the Wizard. Like, when you think of Washington Wizards, you think of John Wall.
Yep. As you should.
But yeah, so that was the little rant on John Wall. So now you understand how emotionally attached I am to this team. And I understand Washington Wizards aren't like the sexiest team. Obviously, we had lots of seasons. Like,
well, you had Kelly Oubre Jr. at one point.
And he was very sexy, actually. So
yeah, so
yeah,
watch out.
Watch out. But yeah, to talk about the modern-day Wizards, obviously we had lots of losses last season. But I'm telling you, the rookie's impressed. Obviously, from the outside looking in, the Wizards, like, they looked horrible.
Yep.
I'm not going to try to sell you on anything else. They looked horrible. If you just
this
stop,
is a man. This is a seasoned veteran of 82 games.
Yeah, 82 games. But if you just stop at the numbers, we haven't had a season above 500, like I said, since that 17-18 season, which was the year after.
Yep.
We went to the conference semifinals. We finished 18-64, worst record in the East. Yep. I mean, I could go on and on. We didn't win a single game in the month of December last year. We were bottom five in both offensive and defensive efficiency. I mean, the numbers are horrible. I could go on and on.
Yeah.
But if you didn't watch the Wizards, you missed out on exponential growth from our rookies, Keyshawn George, Bub Carrington, Alex Starr. I'm telling you, we have a real young core. I'm not trying to hype up.
And when we watched that preseason game, I remember Alex Starr breaking all those threes. But, that's just me.
And remember, you know, he had a horrible summer league, and everybody was calling him a bum.
Yep.
And then he ended up being number two or number three.
Yeah, because Zachary Richesche was also the same thing. We all thought he was a bum, and then he really showed his true colors and as a very productive player and who he can be. And before we go right into the Wizards, I also want to say a thing about John Wall. And I do feel bad for such a fantastic player, especially for the Eastern Conference, that doesn't get the critical acclaim that he should. And obviously, when we're talking about these big contracts, when you are a small market team and you have a talent like John Wall and you don't have all the resources to continually get, you know, free agents like the Lakers do or like some of these bigger markets that are in nicer areas, you know, it's a bit unfair, even though it is fair for John Wall to have received the super duper max contract, right?
He deserved that. At the time, he 100% deserved it.
He deserved that money. But what he didn't deserve is the lingering, is he worth it? Is he worth it? Is he worth it? But that's what happens when you're a small market team and you have a great talent. You need to keep them. You need to put all your money to these players so that you can keep that talent because you don't know when the next big fish is going to come around, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I think, and that was my next point, is that I think that the Dawkins, Will Dawkins management, the new management that came into play 2 years ago, that's what they're bringing back.
Yep.
John Wall for a small market team is like Giannis.
Yep.
It's like a player that you don't get lucky because John Wall was like the consensus number one pick. Yep. The Wizards, they didn't get lucky. They got John Wall, and they were lucky that John Wall loved D.C. so much.
Yep.
He never wanted to leave.
No.
You know how much of a privilege that is? In an NBA that now is, and I really mess with, you know, player empowerment, people being able to, you know, influence their teams and wanting to win when they're in the NBA. But John Wall never put any pressure on the front office. He was there. He showed up every day.
Yep.
And he was injured for 2 years, and that's how you, like, you know, that's how you repay him?
Like, yeah, no, they shouldn't have traded him, even though they had the massive salary. But the thing is, when you're looking at this guy, and you're looking at also you have Bradley Beal, 30 points per game, you know, like even if he didn't get the All-Star credit, he was all NBA, just like John Wall was, right? And so you have to secure that guy now. So after 2 years, yeah, he's still injured. Yeah, he's ramping back. But to pull you into reality here, when you come to these small market teams, you have to make tough decisions. Mm. Sure, John Wall loved DC, and it made sense to, as a fan and as also, you know, a public to keep him. But as a franchise, when you're looking, okay, this much money's going to John Wall. We don't know he's been injured for 2 years. We don't know if when he comes back, he's going to be the same player. We relied on athleticism and not, you know, so much jump shooting, even though he's a great passer. But Bradley Beal is now in his prime. That's why they trade for Russell Westbrook, another player who's exiting his prime, but still in his prime to maintain some form of relevancy, even though that didn't work out exactly how the Washington Wizards planned. But I think it's important to remember those things. No, they shouldn't have traded John Wall. But when you give him that contract, you dig yourself a hole.
But it's just it's not the same thing, because I think if you know the Wizards, you know that, for example, the John Wall and Bradley Beal thing is different. I love Bradley Beal. He's probably one of my, you know, top five favorite players of all time, and I love Bradley Beal, but it's not the same thing. I know he loved DC, but it just was the way he was treated. Bradley Beal was treated like a superstar, like a franchise player, when objectively he wasn't. Yeah. Right?
But they paid him like that.
They did. But the fact that they didn't show the same leniency with, you know, John Wall, like, really hurt my heart. But the thing is, now we're bringing back that I love DC, I'm going to put DC first kind of mentality.
Yep.
With these new rookies that we drafted last year, Bub Carrington, Alex Saar, Keyshawn George. Alex Saar refused to work out with the Hawks because he wanted to be drafted by the Wizards.
Right? That's a crazy stat, quote. I never knew that.
Bub Carrington has talked about how much he loved DC. He's from Baltimore, right?
Shout out.
So the Wizards have put so much emphasis on really getting to know these guys. The scout teams, when you read the scout reports, they really go into like really meeting these guys, really getting to know what they think, you know. And we're drafting minds, which is so great. And our draft class did really good. Obviously, we received so much less coverage, right? Because nobody knows about a Keyshawn George. Nobody knows about, you know, Bub Carrington. Everybody knows about Alex Saar because everybody makes fun of him. You know, the Saar hate has been insane. And to talk about the Dawkins management, a hope has been regained within Wizards fandom. People are tuning in because, like I said, by the numbers, the Wizards suck. But I'm telling you, if you tune in,
there's a product there.
If you tune in for just one game last season, you can see the potential, the amount of length, the positional versatility of all these guys. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a thing where, like, we love our wings. Like I said, we have nine wings. We have nine wings on the roster. We have 9 wings. And realistically, we have 6 wings.
That's two starting lineups almost.
Yeah, we have wings. 6 wings that could get minutes. We have Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George, Cam Whitmore, Corey Kispert, and Will Riley.
Right, Corey Kispert.
I think, and then Jameer Watkins. But Jameer Watkins isn't going to get minutes.
But before we talk about the wings, I want to say, just to, you know, put this into organization a little more. No pun intended, because we're talking about the management and organization. Yeah. What are the expectations for the Wizards this year? Obviously, you aren't Daryl Dawkins, but as a fan, we're talking about this the other day, yesterday, last night. What's the goal this year? You know, are we going to show some teeth? You think that they're going to go for a play-in spot? Are we doing another year tanking? We're going to play the lottery balls. We're player development. Like, tell me what you think that the Wizards organization, from a fan perspective, is aiming to go for this year with their roster moves.
Yeah,
and you know what the kind of vibe of the season is going to be this year.
Well, the vibe was really presented from what we did in the offseason, right? Mm-hmm. There was a lot of movement. Obviously, Jordan Poole leaving.
Yeah, Marcus Smart too.
After a great bounce back year. Well, we bought out Marcus Smart, so we didn't get any return. But the fact that we capitalized and we're honest with ourselves that Jordan Poole is not part of our future, right? He doesn't fit the timeline. So let's trade him when he's like at his highest value and then get draft capital back, right? So we offloaded Jordan Poole. We got CJ McCollum. Chris Middleton is there. So we have veterans. If you look at our starting lineup, you know, Bub Carrington, CJ McCollum, Chris Middleton, Bilal Coulibaly, even though he's injured, and Alex Saar. That's a good starting five.
That is a good starting five. And it's a very solid starting five.
Yeah, and it makes me think in a weaker Eastern Conference, it makes me think that we could fight for a playing spot. Mm-hmm. But it was funny because Kenny Beecham, who's like this basketball podcaster, YouTuber who I really like.
Yeah,
shout always out talks about. Yeah, shout out Kenny Beecham. Really,
shout
really,
out.
Really inspiring.
I hope you're listening.
He talks about how there's two types of fans. There's the type A and the type B.
Mm-hmm.
The type A, maybe, I don't know, maybe your dad or other fans of the game that like to watch the game, but won't be like, won't know the ins and outs, might not know everybody on the roster. So like,
yeah.
For example, if they tune into a Washington Wizards game or a Chicago Bulls game, that was the example he was using, they can be just happy with their team winning a game, mm-hmm. right? Because they're just happy. They don't care about the team. They don't care about the direction of the team. Like, oh, tonight they won a game and I had fun watching them,
mm-hmm.
right? And then there's the type B fan, which I think I put myself in that kind of category. But that's not, it's not a happy life because you kind of look, no, because you kind of look at everything.
I agree.
And you're like, okay, I'm on a tanking team. We own our first round pick for next year. So we own a 2026 first round pick, right?
Yeah.
There is no point in competing in a weaker East. Like, in this year, there's no point.
Yeah.
To the best, we get like, what, 7-8 seeds? We play the play-in and then we miss out on the lottery, right? Yep. So
Raptors move.
No, so when you're a type B, you're like, well, it'd be better if we did the same season we had last year, right?
Yep.
Even though, you know, I'd want us to play our players for 82 games and not sit our veterans and, you know, compete with these big dogs and, you know, kind of like revamp our identity. But realistically, the goals for this season, tanking.
Yep.
Like, the 2026 draft is so deep. We're talking about A.J. DeBonta, the Boozer twins, a couple dudes from overseas, and another dude.
The Boozer twins are going to be so good.
Yeah, but, like, there's so much talent. You get any of the picks in the top five, we're set, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the first goal, I think, tanking and be realistic. But I think the Dawkins management have just shown that. And also establishing who is going to be part of this young court for real.
Because we have so many wings. Yeah, you have to cut down.
Another thing of the Dawkins management has been, I'm going to throw darts on the board, and I'm going to collect all these darts, right? The Cam Whitmore trade, right? And keeping all these young guys and drafting Alex Saar and drafting Trey Johnson. It's like, I'm going to try to get all these dudes here. The trade also for Malachi Branham, who's a like backup point guard on the Spurs, but has shown a lot of promise. It's like, you're collecting all these guys. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to develop them all, which can be tough. And then we're going to see who sticks by next year. Because let's be realistic, you can't keep all these dudes around.
Yeah.
And so that's also defining who's going to be on your court and then defining who's going to be our number one option.
Yeah.
Because right now we don't have a definite, like, franchise player or, like, projection of franchise player. We have what ifs, you know, but who's going to lead us offensively?
And I don't think at this point in time you want someone like CJ McCollum or Chris Middleton to be, like, your go-to guys. Obviously, both, more Chris Middleton than CJ McCollum, but both have an injury history. I mean, I love Chris Middleton's game, but one of the biggest critiques that we have about Chris Middleton is that on a random Wednesday in March, he'll decide to be Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And then
I've seen it. It's impressive.
Some days he just won't show up, right? And I don't think at this point, because how old is Chris Middleton? He's what, 32? 32? 33? Yeah. I was going to say 34.
No.
But 32, you don't want to put all this pressure minutes on him. Like, you don't want him playing 35 minutes a game just to put up empty stat sheets for a team that's tanking, right?
Well, they'll have to, because these dudes need to show the way. Just like Jordan Poole did last year. He led us in scoring. Because these dudes are not ready offensively. I mean, if you look at Alex Saar and...
I see what you mean.
No, yeah. But Alex Saar, Bub Carrington, and Keyshawn George, our draft class from last year, was amongst one of the... Well, more Keyshawn George and Alex Saar, but was amongst the most inefficient players in the league. Mm-hmm. Bub Carrington was one of the worst finishers around the rim. Alex Saar was one of the worst, like, jump shooters in the league, right? Keyshawn George had so many struggles. So these dudes are not ripe enough offensively to play. Bilal Coulibaly, we talked about him. You know, people were like, oh, he's the next Giannis. He needs to take a leap. He took a leap last year. You know, I'd say defensively he took a leap, you know, with the playmaking. But his jump shooting, I had the stat. He shot 32% outside the paint.
Oh!
He's one of the best finishers around the rim, though. He was at, like, 72-73%. Right, but 32% outside the paint is
atrocious,
right? But there's also good signs. Bub Carrington's mid-range shooting, right? I had the stat. He shot the same percentage as Kawhi Leonard. No foreshadowing, but
wow.
Kawhi Leonard is known as the mid-range guy. He was like at 48%, and on the death of the mid-range, he's on team keeping the mid-range alive.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then the question is as well, like, is he your point guard of the future?
Mm.
I don't think so. I think he's more of a two guard or a six man, right? And then some of our rookies sophomores now, have so many questions around them that it's hard to be like set in stone, this is on young core. And that's why people from the outside aren't looking in yet, you know?
Right.
But Trey Johnson, watching in summer league, Trey Johnson is the guy we drafted This year at number six, we fell out of
Which is brutal. Which is brutal. Because what was it? How many wins? 18?
18. Yep. We had the second worst record. Yep. Jazz had the worst record, and they ended up being number five. Right.
Wow.
Hornets were fourth, and then third was Philly. Second was the Spurs, and one no. Yeah, second was the Spurs, and then one was the Mavs. And we fell to the lowest we could. We still drafted Trey Johnson, who is a dog. Yep. And he probably has the most polished offensive game. And
that's exactly what you need.
No, that's what we need. We need a number one option. Or, most likely, in my opinion, we'll wait for next year and then maybe draft one of those like those youngins that will come in and be that number one. Or, I'm also inclined to, you know, seeing what Cam Whitmore can do as...
Yep.
Because he's going to have a lot of
I'm really excited space, for Cam Whitmore. And I also think that's just like we're talking about the conundrum.
At the wing,
At the wings. Because, okay, a franchise after my own heart, nine wings. I mean, that's Raptors level stuff.
Yeah.
Where you just get them and you just pile them up and you just get all these wings and all these quote-unquote athletic guys.
Yeah.
That play hard defense or whatever you're going to try to prove. And it doesn't work because the game isn't there. You know, it's a lot of raw talent. Yeah. And but I really like the looks of Cam Whitmore. I think that in like, it's like a micro, like you call like a microwave scorer. Mm-hmm. You know, someone that you know that when you put in the game, you can expect him to just not dominate, but just get buckets.
Yeah.
Get buckets. And I really see that for Cam Whitmore. A lot more of a... I feel like a bit more of a... I think he's younger now, but a bit more of like a polished Kuminga to me.
Right. That was the whole thing the whole summer because the Wizards were in the Kuminga, you know, kind of like...
I wouldn't even call it sweepstakes. It's the sadness.
Well, because the Warriors were asking for so much. They were asking for young players, a first-round pick, and then a veteran.
Because honestly, they don't want to get rid of... Because... Sure, the talent's there, but he's also... Kuminga's one of those guys where you're like... You can tell us you're going to score like 20 points per game, but that's not what we need. Is it like we need you to be more reliable in all these different ways. And sure, you can get 20 points, but what else are you going to do?
It's the same thing with Cam Whitmore.
Yeah.
Right? I think...
And also you have Cam Whitmore. Why are you going to get Kuminga?
No, because a lot of things that I read about this trade was like, well, you know, his per 36 numbers are like... 22 points and whatever. It's a lot of garbage time minutes as well.
Yeah.
But I will say, I love a young player that can come in garbage time and really, like, produce and be like, okay, this is my chance to, you know, show. But
it shows he has heart.
But he hasn't really shown anything else. His decision-making is iffy. Yeah. His defense is, you know, unfocused. And we have forwards that are so good at the other stuff. Bilal Coulibaly is such a smart defensive player who knows how to play make, who's great in transition, one of the best players in transition. And then Keyshawn George, who for me, if you don't know Keyshawn George, please look up his highlights.
Study up.
Like, Keyshawn George for me is going to take over Bilal Coulibaly's starting spot, and I think he's going to be our guy. If not 1A, he'll be 1B. I think towards the end of the season where he's shown his playmaking, his scoring, his three-point shooting, and especially his defense. He's like 6'7", 6'8". And he's so versatile because his story is that he grew up as a point guard his whole life.
Right.
And then when he graduated high school, or like his junior high school, he like grew to like 6'5 or something. And then when he went to college, he grew to like 6'8", 6'7", 6'8".
Yep.
And you can really see his guard skills. And over the summer, he played for Canada, actually, in the FIBA AmeriCup. And he made the All-Star starting five. And he was their guy. He was the number one guy. Because obviously they didn't, like none of the guys like Shea and everybody weren't like convened. But on this like kind of like rebuilding Canadian team this summer, he was like one of their main guys. And I think having a starting lineup of Bob Carrington, CJ McCollum, Chris Middleton, and then Keyshawn George at the beginning of the season because Bilal Coulibaly is injured. And then Sarr, at least I'm excited. I think it's going to be a fun team. And then you have Cam Whitmore coming off that bench, you know, the rookie Trey Johnson also coming off that bench. And they just look like a unit that likes to play together, that likes to play for DC. And I'm really, really, really excited. And I'm telling you, the defense is there as well. It might show not show it in the numbers because we've thrown games as well. That's another thing about tanking. Sometimes the Wizards are in it until the fourth quarter, and then Brian Keefe, our coach, will just be like, well, I want to give these young guys some play. And then some games are like, you know, just forgotten from memory because, well, you're trying to lose at the end of the day. And that's why some of these veterans didn't play that much, because you're trying to lose.
Yeah.
And at the end, just like the Raptors, at the end of last season, it was purely G League guys. Yeah. Guys like Jalen Martin, Colby Jones, who aren't even on the roster anymore. We're getting like 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Still tuned in, though, but...
Yeah.
you know, but...
Still had to watch them buggies.
You know, but the Bilal Coulibaly injury also kind of ties into what I said last week.
Yeah, it's like, because he's going to be out for the first...
Week or 2 weeks of the season. Yeah.
2 weeks. And when it comes to thumb stuff, like I know... one of the greatest point guards in NBA history, Kyle Lowry, he dealt with the ligaments in his thumb being injured, and that went through his whole finals run, really.
Yeah.
He had torn everything in his thumb. Yeah. And you saw it later in his career that his shooting was not as consistent, because he always had a lingering thumb injury, right? Mm. So obviously, Wizards aren't making a final run. But those injuries, like we said, this is the second injury to happen to that thumb. It's tricky, because when you have to use your hand and the ligaments to move your hand and your thumb, and as, you know, what's the word? To have opposable thumbs as a human being is a very important thing to have. It's a tough injury. I really hope that, you know... It does not progress to be worse, but it's not something that can be exactly written off as a quick injury to heal.
Well, especially because, like I told you, his first year in the NBA, he played 58 games, and he had a torn left thumb. And then second season, hamstring kept him out for like 20 games.
Yeah.
And then this summer, other hand, other right thumb. Right. But it does make me a bit feel a bit better, because I saw on Twitter somebody like kind of went frame by frame of like all his EuroBasket games and the bandage.
You're
on
so
his hand.
You're so invested that you went frame by frame in all of his minutes.
That the bandage appeared like after halftime of the third game, which is when he started playing, you know, quote unquote bad.
Right.
So it makes me feel better, but it also, you know, might explain his late season struggle with his shooting. Because his three-point shooting went, like down the dumps. He started off the season so hot last season.
Yeah, and
if you guys remember, he was averaging, like, 18 and 9, I think. Nine rebounds.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And he was really leading this team, and he was really being the alpha, like, kind of, like, you know, leader of this team. And that's what we've needed, right? I think our vocal leader is Bub Carrington, right? But in the play, we need a go-to guy. Because this is the NBA. It's a business at the end of the day.
Right.
We can keep kind of telling these guys that we're seeing flashes and that, you know, things are going to be okay and that things are going to work out. But at the end of the day, if you have no consistency to show, then we're going to have to get rid of some of these guys. You know?
Well, it's also a product, right? So when you're looking, how many more seasons can, like, in the timeline of the Washington Wizards, like, they need to have a winning season within the next 2-3 years.
Well, that's, okay.
For product-wise.
No,
I mean,
look at tanking teams. I think... After this year, we draft a guy, right? Most likely, we'll be in the lottery.
Well, that's what I mean. I think next year the Washington Wizards will be a good team that will start winning games.
Definitely, but I think it's not make it or break it if we don't make the playoffs, right? Because then
no, because but I'm just saying that I think that the Washington Wizards need to start winning to prove to the NBA something.
But it's also like I said. But it's also like.
Because the product needs to be shown.
And you want to be taken seriously. Right now, the Wizards are quote unquote a joke in NBA media.
They're also named the Washington Wizards, so it's a little
really
difficult.
Tough name. I don't see anything.
I think it's a tough I can't talk. I'm the Toronto Raptors. Come like on, dinosaurs man. Don't really make sense.
Goofy name. Goofy
and
name.
And so don't Wizards. But it's better than the Baltimore Bullets.
Hey, I kind of mess with the Bullets.
Yeah, but you can't name like the highest crime rate city in America.
Not anymore.
Yeah, actually, shout out the mayor of Baltimore.
Come on now. Baltimore's also trying to revamp their identity.
Yeah, they deserve it. But I was saying in the 1980s, they were the Baltimore Bullets, and then they were the Washington Bullets, and then they had to change their
name. But I'm telling you, if you're an NBA fan, please give the Wizards a chance this year.
Yeah, give the Wizards a chance. I mean,
I'm asking for is one game. We have Cam Whitmore, who everybody's like wants to see play.
Yep.
Also, I didn't get into it, but Alex Saar is a real good player. Please do not listen to what NBA media will tell you about Alex Saar. He has put on 20 pounds. He played really good at Eurobasket.
Yeah, 20 pounds
put
is
on 20
crazy.
Pounds, and you can see it. He played really good at Eurobasket. He set a record for most blocks in a summer league game with 8 or 9 this summer.
Holy!
He's a great positional defender. Maybe not in the post, but on the perimeter, he can really switch out. He's got guard skills.
He's a very modern five.
He's a modern five, right? Yep. And he might be in the long term a four, but right now, he has those games where he really shows that he can anchor the defense. Yeah. Right? And his at rim numbers defending the rim are really good. It's just that the NBA media put on a hit mark on his head ever since he said he didn't want to work out for the Hawks. Then got drafted by the Wizards. Then went 0-15 in his second summer league game, and everybody's been hating on him, making jokes about Alex Saar.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, give him a chance. Please watch his games. Watch our games. This upcoming season is going to be a really good one. We also have the rookie Trey Johnson from Texas, who is a sharp shooter. And if you like college basketball, he was so good at Texas last year in the March Madness too.
I think moral of the story here is that we should give the Wizards a chance because small mark. And I think this is a good transition. We're going to go to an ad break here. I think this is a good transition into the appeal for the small market teams. Like, you know, the Raptors are a bit of a weird spot because I think akin to the Wizards, we don't get respect because we're Canadian, and the Wizards don't get respect because they're the Wizards. Yeah. Like, and that's like counterintuitive to what we're saying here, but that is true. People don't respect the Wizards because of the history of lack of production. But it's also
pretty thin, to be sure.
And it's not a give us a chance or. Live is a chance.
But these young boys, they're bringing the...
As Charles Barkley said, right? Oh, these young boys. They coming.
They come in and they bring back that vibe that DC used to have in the 16, 17, and John Wall would be super proud.
They going to teach you how to Dougie.
Come on now.
They going to teach us how to Dougie, bro. All right, we're going to go to ad break, and then we'll be back. We'll maybe finish a little more on the Wizards, and then we're going to talk about Kawhi Leonard.
Yes, sir.
Arts in the Margins present Festival Flux, a Montreal experimental music festival taking place from October 1st to 11th. Festival Flux is a unique mix of concerts, workshops, roundtables, presentations, talks, and publication launches, all configured around community, care, and the sonic arts. You won't want to miss innovative artists such as Beam Splitter, Anif Jacques and Ryoko Akama, Bozzini Quartet, Andrew Cyril, Christina Warren, Violence Gratuite, Nada El Shazly, and more. For more information on the festival and how to get tickets, visit fluxmtl.org.
I say, what are you listening to there, old chap? Man, I'm listening to the Live Wire show on CGLO 1690 on your AM dial every Saturday from 9 till 10 in the morning.
Welcome back to the Death of the Mid-Range podcast.
Welcome back.
On a lighter note, we got a little emotional there with the Wizards, but yeah. I think it was important. When we're talking about our fan bases, obviously we do have a lot of emotional attachments. Is Michael Porter Jr. canceled yet?
Don't know. Honestly, no. I was going to say, in the week that we were apart, nothing's come up.
No, he's been quiet. Probably someone shut him up.
I think somebody.
They had to.
Somebody had to step in at some point.
Well, you know, me and my brother, we deal with problems, right?
Yeah.
My addiction is women. Yeah. It's gambling.
It's because you don't get no girls. That's why. You don't get no play. Absolutely zero.
What the heck? Like,
I can't wait for us to talk about the Nets.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see the season.
Oh, I'm so excited. I was going to say I'm so excited, but not really.
But I think it's going to be really fun because it's either going to be a tire fire or we're going to watch.
It'll be both.
There was a meme that went around. It's like when Julius Randle first got on the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's like Julius Randle when Anthony Edwards asked for the ball, and it's just like a dog holding a chew toy. It's like, not giving it up, and it's just like, I just see that for the Nets.
Was the Julian Newman meme.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like, well, bro, like when Ken Thomas is coming down the court and MPJ's asking for the ball and just said, that's going to be fun. And with these four European dudes in the mix, it's going to be crazy. So excited.
But
Eurobasket's done.
Eurobasket is done.
Congratulations to all my German brothers.
Yeah.
Deutschland.
Shout out Dennis Schroeder.
MVP. But little fun fact. You know my best friend?
He is low, yeah.
You know my best friend, Ben?
Yeah.
His favorite player is Dennis Schroeder. No jokes. Since like we were in middle school,
yeah.
He has been in love with Dennis Schroeder. So that means a lot to him. Shout out to you, Ben. I know you're happy about Dennis Schroeder winning MVP.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves it. Hey, MVP of Eurobasket, MVP of
FIBA World Cup 2023. Yeah.
A couple years ago. Hey, Hall of Fame him.
Hey.
Hall of Fame.
That's crazy. Dennis Schroeder deserves it, though, because when we're talking about the Hall of Fame, is that a lot of people don't realize that it extends beyond the NBA.
Yeah.
Someone like Arvydas Sabonis, right? Like, why is he in the
GOAT?
The Hall of Fame. He didn't do that much in the
Watch
NBA.
The highlights. Bro, watch the highlights.
Watch the Yugoslavian highlights. Come gang. On. Gang. But as we have 10 minutes left, I think it is only right if we're talking about NBA news. First off, Adam Silver is saying that the NBA is a highlight league. Oh my God.
But like I think, I mean, you can objectively maybe agree with him, but it's so frustrating because that's like the whole thing we're trying to say is like, please watch
games.
The games.
Watch
like,
basketball.
Stop coming to me with takes when you've watched like a 2 minute like resume
highlight
of
reel.
Like, yeah, highlight reel.
And we're not perfect. We'll have some takes where, obviously, yeah, we did watch the highlight reel and that's it. But the thing is that it's like, the end of the day, watch games. Jimmy Highroller, fantastic basketball user, YouTuber.
Love him.
He's like, I'm so sick of people coming to me with these hot takes when clearly they haven't watched full games.
That's
like, sit down with some popcorn, chips, whatever you want. Watch one full game and then have your takeaways from that game be your opinion.
Yeah.
And I think it's important as fans of teams who aren't even that great. Well, we still watch the games.
The Raptors are not great. The Wizards, on the other hand.
it's make the Wizards great again, you know?
Yeah.
Because Trump's making DC so great. I think it's just important to watch games. Be any takeaway from Death of the Mid-Range, is we're talking about just basketball, as instead of looking at these stupid statistical markers and you know, like, let's just watch some pure buckets, man.
And you can use the two. You can use your eye test,
yeah,
and then you can mesh it with
statistics.
But did we agree on Dennis Schroeder Hall of Fame?
Dennis Schroeder Hall of Fame.
He deserves it. I'm putting my vote in. I know he has no value whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah.
NBA.
Let's go to the office right now.
I'm putting my office.
Hall of Fame. I know that this is obviously a Hall of Fame podcast, so
yeah,
we're.
Yeah. You hear me? Dennis.
You hear me?
Dennis the Menace. Come on.
Dennis the Menace. Give me some. Come on. Lastly, as we have our last 8 minutes here.
I know you're itching. I know you're itching to talk about
Kawhi
it.
Leonard, man.
Unk out, man. Kawhi.
Because, first off, shout out Pablo Torre Finds Out podcast. Mm-hmm. He had two episodes. I watched the full breakdown of everything to know about the Kawhi Leonard contract deals with Aspiration and Steve Ballmer last week. I think it was released like 13 days ago. A couple days ago, he released a follow-up with that. Excuse me. With more receipts and more stuff. I only watched half that episode over breakfast this morning. For those of you that don't know, Kawhi Leonard and the Los Angeles Clippers are currently in an NBA scandal. Not a legal scandal, because legally there's nothing kind of wrong with this. But in NBA terms, we have what's called a salary cap. When we're looking at the salary cap when it comes to small market teams often do not have the most rich owners or the most affluent, you know, kind of staff, and they don't have a lot of money. So when we give these massive contracts to Bradley Beal or give them to John Wall, the ownership doesn't have that much money, so we have to keep these players, and it is very important to us and this money is important, right? Steve Ballmer of the Los Angeles Clippers is the sixth richest man on the planet. He is worth $175 billion. Two teams that have not had a stadium renovation Jeff T talks about the Pacers not having used to not have like a breakfast buffet.
Yeah.
Right? They would just get some money to go buy breakfast, right?
Yeah, per diem.
When you're talking about things like this, to the niceties of an arena or stuff like that, to Steve Ballmer, money is not a concept. Like, this stuff doesn't matter. What Kawhi Leonard and the Los Angeles Clippers are indicted of is paying Kawhi under the table to avoid the salary cap.
Yeah, fake company.
Fake company. So, salary cap, you have a certain amount of money that you can pay all your players, and the salary cap is in place for people like Steve Ballmer, because if it was pay to win, he can hand out billion-dollar contracts to the best players and just create a super team.
Just like in soccer, how there's like a lot of discrepancy.
Exactly.
If you have rich owners, then you can pay as much as you want. Mm-hmm. That's and what the salary cap is trying to like plateau that.
In baseball, it's a bit of the same thing too. Shohei Ohtani signing at nearly $1 billion.
Damn.
Right. But it's unfair what Steve Ballmer is doing. If we're looking at this, Aspiration is a tree planting company, quote unquote, where you invest money to get carbon tokens to offset your carbon emissions. So they partnered with the Yankees, they partnered with the Clippers, they partnered with people like Robert Downey Jr., Drake, these big celebrities and artists to offset their carbon footprints. Hey, I am endorsing this company and I'm giving you money, Aspiration, to counteract whatever my private plane is doing. You know, when you build a stadium like Steve Ballmer did, he gave $300 million to this company to offset the carbon emissions of building the stadium. As of whatever the last report came out, I think it was 2022, and the company filed for bankruptcy in 2023-24. They only supervised one visit to plant trees.
Yeah.
One visit. So who knows if they planted trees, right? They didn't plant any trees.
Yeah.
Why am I talking about trees? Celebrity endorsements, right? Robert Downey Jr., Drake, Leonardo DiCaprio, all these people got paid a bunch of money to promote the business and to promote Aspiration. Secretly, was not known to the public, there was the largest endorsement deal with Aspiration. Until the company went bankrupt, we didn't know who that was. Now we know that it is the Claw, Kawhi Leonard himself. The contract was worth $28 million.
Money. That's money.
As it was explained, you could take all the celebrity endorsements combined, and it would not even equate to a quarter of Kawhi Leonard's contract with Aspiration.
Aspiration.
In the internals, it was told that we are giving him this amount of money because it is the way to circumvent the salary cap for the Clippers. Mm. This is stated by six sources from Aspirations, anonymous, as they do not want to be sued by the Clippers for defamation.
But also, the reason why they don't want to go over the salary cap is that you pay luxury tax.
Exactly. So that's why you don't want to hit below the second apron.
Yeah, the second apron
You have to pay way more money if you go over the salary cap. And even for Steve Ballmer, it's not worth it, right? Because the whole point is to eliminate the billionaire thing. But all in all, it was about 40 million, or no, 28 plus there was some ownership stakes. So it was about 40 million, all in all, that he was getting underneath the table. What is so frustrating about this is that it's so blatant, and Steve Ballmer is trying to make light of it. Oh, you know, I got scammed out of this company. Because in the end of the day, it was a fraudulent
yep.
company. But this goes against the ethos of sports. We only have 2 minutes here, so I'll make this quick. You have a player like Giannis, right? He said his greatest achievement in his career was to win Greece the bronze medal in the Eurobasket.
Shout out.
And this is important because Giannis likes playing basketball.
He does.
Giannis likes playing basketball. I like Kawhi Leonard. Obviously won us a championship for the Raptors. But his stipulations for, and mostly because of his uncle, but his stipulations for signing contract was that he wanted celebrity endorsement from companies like Aspiration, so to circumvent the salary cap so that he could make more money. And in his contract, he didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
He had to do nothing. All these other celebrities were promoting, you know, Aspiration publicly to businesses and whatnot. Kawhi Leonard had to do nothing. There was nothing he had to do. It was clearly to circumvent the salary cap. I feel this goes against sports and my hot take with 30 seconds left. I think Kawhi Leonard should get the Jontay Porter Jr. treatment.
Bang.
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 Get him out of here.
That was good.
Anyways, yeah. I went on a little long there.
Yeah.
We have 40 seconds left. Or 15 seconds left. Oh my God, cool. So quick. Oh my God, thank you so much for listening. Oh my God, this was such a good episode.
Thank you for tuning in.
Oh my
in.
God, thank you for listening to the Wizards. Oh my God,
we will see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in, guys.
Yeah.
We had a great time talking. Here we go.